Hey everybody, David Craig here. We're so excited that you've joined us for the Miracle Channel podcast. Today's message is from one of our very own Miracle Channel original pastors. It is always an honor to get to share some of our favorite Sunday messages with you here. Let's get into the podcast.
I want to talk about, is there an evil force on this planet? Is there an evil force on this planet? Psychology would tell you no, that it's just the depravity of man. It's just people who are not thinking right, and a man can stoop to horrible evil levels, and I understand, and that's partly true. But they don't ever address the spirit. It's always physical and mental, whereas the Word of God addresses a third component that is the answer to it all, and that is the spirit realm. And so the reason I hate religion, and I say it all the time, is because religion is where leaders make up rules to make people feel like they don't quite measure up. Their prayers don't measure up. Things don't measure up. And so they're always in this defeated place of trying to please God and get God to move. And I hate that. I want people to understand that this Jesus has done it all. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension has paid it all. And if there's anything left, we're back into works and we're back into religion and we're back into striving and trying and no miracles. You see, we know that because of Christ, the enemy has no authority. He can't manifest himself in front of you and just put sickness on you. But there is a battlefield of the mind. And because Jesus stripped him, there's some things that we need to understand about him. There is a war that is raging all over the planet, and it's raging for the hearts and the minds of people. And like God uses people, and He flows through people to bring freedom and life and blessing, the enemy as well uses people because he has no authority. He tries to influence their thoughts, their thinking. He tries to snare them, to trap them, to do his bidding. And few people realize that even believers can fall into the snare of the enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, it gives us a beginning of where this enemy comes from. It says in verse 7, a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Wow, a war in heaven. But they did not prevail, and there was no place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now this goes on. All I want to show you here is this epic situation that took place in heaven, where a created being, an angel, an archangel, we see three of them could be in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, but he took some of the creative power that God gave him and with it created pride and sin and tried to take out his own creator. It says a lot of us believe about a third of the angels, because different scriptures talk about that, went with him, and he was immediately hurled, is what in the Greek, the word, it just hurled out of heaven. This battle wasn't at war. It went on for a millennia. No, it was a pretty fast, bam, gone. But the Bible says that in the last, I'll just read verse 17. It says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The enemy is angry. It uses the word wrath, which means breathing hard, fierce, and boiling over. This is the enemy. He's a hater. He hates you and I because we look like God. He would like nothing more than to hurt you. You know, it's kind of like you can't touch the big bully, so you just key his car. Can't get to him, you're going to go after his car. And the enemy can't get at God, but he can get at, he's trying to get at what God loves. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we should not be ignorant of his devices. It's interesting that God has given us an armor from another world, from a different world. You know, we often watch these great movies where some alien entity, you know, comes from another planet and they got this incredible armor and what it stops and what it does and you can disappear and all these movies. But the fact is, the armor given to the believer in Ephesians 6 is the armor that Isaiah says Jesus wore. So Jesus, from the spirit realm, came to this earth, and in being a human being, he wore an armor that you and I are to wear. In fact, the Bible even talks about this armor, that if you put on the full armor, that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Well, I thought we have to outthink him. Now the armor just does it automatically for you. And this armor is crucial. The armor is an understanding of different principles in God's word. To not know the principles and feed on the principles is to go into life, to go into battle with pieces that are missing. You're going into battle in your fruit of the looms, and you don't realize you've got no armor to stop the arrows and the stabbing and the things that come at you. So it's crucial that we get this armor on. Then we know the sword of the Spirit. Praying God's word is a powerful way to deal with it. Jesus, when he was fighting with the devil himself, he said repeatedly, "It is written." And when he said, "It is written," it reminds me of a guy with a rifle, you know, a hunting rifle, and he's going to shoot, so he grabs the bolt and bam, loaded, ready to fire. It's like, "It is written," and you know what's coming after this is going to just absolutely destroy the enemy. And he said, bam, and he would quote a verse, and the enemy would just stop. He'd tempt him in another area. It is written. Why did Jesus say every time, "It is written"? He wanted to show you and I that the way to live a life of overcoming power, wear the armor, use the sword. To not use the sword means you're on the defensive all your life. You don't do anything until all of a sudden it's, "Oh, battle stations, what's going on? Something's going wrong, oh, Jesus!" Why weren't you continually fighting with the sword? Why weren't you taking ground in every arena of your life? And then it talks about, in Corinthians chapter 10, taking thoughts captive. And it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then some wild teaching thinks we're talking about evil spirits governed by different areas. But here it's very clear that this is the battlefield is the mind, and you've got to take a thought captive. You've got to pull down preconceived ideas and notions that you've developed. And then these strongholds will hold an area of your life where you will not find miraculous flow. You will not be able to make a relationship work, finances work, peace, joy, some area of your life, and because you've never taken thoughts captive. I remember when I first decided I'm going to take thoughts captive. I'm just tired of my brain going, and I thought, okay, I'm going to take thoughts captive. Is there a bad thought coming in? And I couldn't believe how fast your mind goes. You know, we talk about 200 words a minute, but you think at 1,300 words a minute. Just, it's how fast your brain is going. And if it has habits, you think addictions that are physical are bad? Oh, they're brutal. They're wicked. I mean, sexual addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions. I mean, porn, just a little. But thinking, habitual thinking, is the mother of them all. And so you and I need to recognize this, that thoughts, you need to begin the process of using Romans 12 and taking thoughts captive. And as you begin to just practice this, ask Holy Spirit to help you, you'll get good that a certain thought will hit your head and your stomach will just go in a knot as you learn to sense your spirit. And then you'll begin to put up the shield of faith, which is, no, the word says, and you move on. And as you do this, you begin to regulate your thinking. My dad had a saying. He said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And a lot of Christians want taffy messages, and they're already diabetics, and they don't want to take the time to dive into the Word. I just pray, lay hands on me, and things are going to be fine. But that's not what the Word teaches us. It teaches us that you have an enemy. And so taking thoughts captive is a crucial part of this. Casting them out is something Jesus talks about. If someone comes to you who's in such bondage to a demonic thing, it says that, and if they want freedom, you can cast him out. I've also found in my life, there's been certain times where there's like an assignment on a specific area of my life. And my lightning fast mind doesn't realize I'm no longer fighting flesh and blood. I'm not just solving problems, thinking through with wisdom. There's something going on here. And all of a sudden I go, this assignment against this area, I command it to stop. Out in Jesus' name. And you just cast it out. There's a lot of beautiful principles and tools that God has given us in dealing with it. And I don't think about him every day. But in knowing these, it just gives you such a freedom to follow Christ and to be aware of him.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
So today, I want to finish my message of talking about offense. Offense. The Bible's very clear that offense is one of the most brutal things in a Christian's life. And it's something that few Christians seem to pay attention to. Now, what's interesting is that, well, let me read you a couple verses. Exercise foresight. Be on the watch. Look after one another. See that no one falls back and fails to secure God's grace in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled by it. Okay, you got my attention right now. There's something that a born-again believer can do that will cause their relationships to be defiled. It will cause, now listen to James 3. If you have bitter jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourself on it and thus be in defiance of the truth. This superficial wisdom of why you're offended and why you're ticked off and what, you know, this superficial wisdom, it's not from above. Okay, it's not from above. But it is earthly and unspiritual. In brackets, my Bible says animal, even devilish, demonic. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. I meet a lot of Christians over 40 years of ministry. Some, it is so easy to walk them through to freedom and whatever they're dealing with. And with others, I never was able to. Never. Didn't matter how much counseling, how much love, how much care, how much looking after, because there's an area of our lives that we have to be very careful, and it's entering into offense. Now, the only way to enter into offense is to judge someone's heart. But to judge someone's heart, if you think you can, then you begin to be offended. What they didn't do, did do, did say, didn't say, etc. And this offense is brutal. I'm going to give you just a picture for a minute. When we talk about the word offense, it's from the root word skandalon, and in the Greek. And that root word in the Greek is the same word used for the trigger of a trap. It's called scandalon. And so if you want to attract that mouse to the trap or that animal to the trap, you've got to bait it with something he wants. And then when he touches the bait, which is on the trigger, that trap captures him, snares him, and the verses I just read, you say, to do the bidding of the enemy. So people who get offended, people who are easily hurt, you know, hurts is an easy word for offended. And they say, well, I've got a good reason to, so-and-so did this. Hey, there's a ton of good reasons. But offense is not given, offense is taken. I got a trap here. This one hurts. It's a rat trap. Okay. Now, on a rat trap, on every trap, you've got the trigger. The trigger is what you want the person to go for. So you don't put the cheese over here. You don't put the cheese in the bottom. You don't put the cheese over. You put it on the trigger. And I promise you, every day of your life, his number one trick as a born-again believer will to get you to be offended. Because the second you judge another person and you get offended by them, you lose this ability to produce miracles. Because your heart is now in offense. It's not in faith. The Bible teaches us that we must believe, according to Romans chapter 10, we must speak with our mouth and believe with our heart. In Mark chapter 11, 20 to 25, it talks about you can't doubt in your heart. This heart is very crucial. And so to take a look at the trap and then to begin to go for this and to be snared is to stay in constant offense. Now, I'm second generation pastor, and I think that's a real advantage in the ministry because I grew up with a wonderful two pastors, my dad and my mom, and I watched them, the people in their lives and the people in my life as Sal and I pastored. And I've seen people move from offense to offense their entire life. You can be counseled all you want. You can see everybody from the prayer tower to the prayer basement to the prayer club. You can have the whole world praying for you. And God himself cannot help you. Well, Leon, God can do anything. No, he gave you freedom. He gave you free choice, free will. He will not violate that by forcing you to obey him. Your will is so strong that when you make a decision to be offended by somebody, to be bitter, unhappy, unforgiving, you are playing with such fire because your marriage can get defiled. Your kids can get defiled. What is the word defile? There is this effect that begins to affect your marriage, your sex life, your children. They grow up. There are people who, you know, they get upset with church or the pastor. Jesus talks a lot about being offended for the word's sake. And in Mark chapter 4, talks about how that it'll end the harvest. It says the word's planted in your heart. One kind of seed is planted in the heart. And it says, and it grows up quickly, but it gets offended for the word's sake. And you can't bear fruit. So this issue of guarding your heart, watching your mouth, not allowing yourself to be upset by somebody, why would you give someone else the power to shut your life down, to shut your miracles down? I've seen people live in such offense, and I've tried to help them. I've tried to show this to them. But if they don't want to, hatred and bitterness can come. And what happens to people is that they stop seeing the power of God because they're so focused on what this person did to me. And they'll pray, but they'll be praying God strike him dead, which is witchcraft, not prayer. We need to understand the spirit realm. We need to understand that a sound mind, that the peace of God in your emotions, that yes, we can teach you things in counseling, but if you have allowed offense to come into your life, if you have allowed bitterness towards someone, okay, now, and I'm going to say this. Well, Leon, God can't forgive you if you don't forgive. Now, that's pre-cross. Jesus did say that forgive others so your heavenly Father can forgive you. But later on after the cross, he says, forgive others as I have forgiven you. But now, here's the trigger, okay? And it's interesting that when we begin to that when we live our lives, these traps are everywhere. I may as well put them all over the platform. And each one is an invitation to come touch the trigger. Each one is take the bait and get snared. And from that point and on, you'll just see it go down. There's a trigger. I'm snared. I was going to put my finger in it, but then I changed my mind when I saw how hard it snapped. Have you been baited is a question. Do you live in a sense of joy and peace? Do you live in a sense of loving people? When it comes to your marriage, I believe this is one of the number one reasons why marriages end. You can say, well, the top three are communication, sex, and money. Oh, I get it. But behind those three will be offense. And offense is a demonic plan. It is a demonic snare for your lives. Remove yourself from it. Forgive. And ask God to help you. I believe there are so many Christians in today's world that are held captive and they can't break free, and they will need the power of Holy Spirit. They will need their will and the power of Holy Spirit together to break the yoke that holds them into such an area where they can't produce results. And my challenge to you is to give up this right to be offended by someone. Give up the right to blame them. And from now on, just say, I give nobody the ability to end my joy, my peace, my life. You know, I'm in my late 50s, and life goes by so quick. And you begin to realize how quickly you could spend a decade living in offense. You could spend 20 years and watch your kids grow up. And because, bless God, I got a right to be upset at that guy. Do you know what he did? Jesus said, if he can be crucified, if he could give his life for you and I and be bitten in his, just beaten in his beard ripped out and die in our place and forgive and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Then you and I can as well. Remember this, it's never going to end. Bible says, woe to those whom offenses come. They will come for the rest of your life. But for you and I, recognize nobody can make you offended. They can just hurt you for a minute. They can make you look bad. They can lie about you, backstab you, etc. But the offense, it's a process. I've made a decision that I am going to watch everything that goes on. And the second someone begins to gossip or try to get my ire up, you see so-and-so, well, they think there's something. And they're just trying to get you offended. They're just trying to get you to be bugged and bothered by things. And you start losing this ability to just walk. And the Bible says to be mindful of the things that are above, not on this earth. Be protecting this beautiful grace, believing in the grace of God, that nobody can change and stop the beauty that God has for your life and where you're going. So don't stop being worried about their mouths, what they're saying, what they're doing. You might have to make sure that you've got safe friendships and people who are safe in your life, because they're not going to do this or make you feel off. But make a decision today. Make a decision that goes, I forgive. I forgive. And be free. Be free to walk in faith and peace, grace, the love of God. It'll change your marriage, your family, your finances, every area of your life when you obey the principles of God's word.
Thank you so much for listening to the Miracle Channel podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes, and stay tuned for new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.